Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me by phone, I have Chief Deputy for the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, Randy Tiff. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you. I've got a lot of stuff I want to get to. First one is this. It had made a bunch of news, and I'm not sure if it's as newsworthy as a lot of other people seem to think it is, but it has been a topic of conversation. The Jay assistant city manager who had been up for the city manager job, April Watson, who had served a year for having a sexual relationship with a minor while she was a teacher, a 17-year-old when she was a teacher, she is on, this is how I understand it, she's on the sex offender registry list. That means at any time that she even is temporarily in a different place in the county, she's obligated to notify the sheriff. And that did not happen, allegedly, when she was at an RV park. Do I basically have this right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And so yes. So how does that work? Like, just as a practical matter, when somebody takes a vacation or just stays overnight at somebody, they're just obligated to tell you, and there's a process for that?
Yeah, they have to reach out to our sex offender unit or vendor registration and let us know if their address is going to be changing, where they're going to be at, so that we're aware of it and we can approve anything that may not be allowed based off of her status.
Okay.
And she went and spent a week at RV park and didn't report that her residence had changed for that week. So our sex offender unit did a warrant on her, and she was picked up on that warrant.
Okay. Okay. That is the law. Is there any distinction in what they have to do as far as notification to you based on if they were convicted sex offenders or sexual predators, or is that not a distinction that the law cares about when it comes to registry?
Yeah, there's different regulations for sexual predators and sex offenders.
Okay.
So each one of them has different guidelines, and that's why it's important for them to reach out to our offender registration unit to report what they're doing, where they're going, and then we can tell them, no, you're not allowed to do that, or don't go in that area, or we're okay with it, just make sure you report back when you return home.
Okay, so if they're, going to be near a school, be near kids, or some other reason that it would be a problem, that's why they have to get a hold of you. And this is routine. Registered sex offenders do this routinely with your office?
Yes, sir. They sure do.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much. That clarifies all of that. You had a suspect that, if I remember correctly, I think it was a traffic stop, but wound up fleeing from your deputies into the Blackwater and perishing. Is that right?
Well, yes. This individual, we went to a residence to pick him up on a warrant.
He had previously
ran from law enforcement and jumped off the Blackwater Bridge. And so we had warrants for that. He had warrants for burglary. So our officers responded to a residence where he was known to be at. He fled from them, jumped into the Blackwater River.
A second time.
Deputies were there talking to him a second time, yes.
Okay.
Couldn't find him. We did a search that evening, come back the next day. And we requested Escambia County's dive team, which we want to thank Sheriff Simmons and Escambia County for always. They're always willing to help us out. Brought their dive team over, and we were able to locate him in the Blackwater, and he was deceased.
That's sad. What was the underlying crime for which you were serving the warrant?
He had burglary charges, fleeing, eluding charges, and I think one more, and I can't remember the exact detail of that warrant. They had three warrants out for him.
Okay.
This is not what we want the result to be when we come. He could have handled these things, and, our prayers go out to his family.
Yeah.
We don't ever want it to end like this. We have to serve warrants when they're active. And that's all the deputies were trying to do was serve that warrant. And unfortunately, this one did not end well. And again, like I said, our prayers go out to his family. They're victims in this also.
It's obviously none of those charges are capital crimes. He certainly could have had, reformed in prison. Who knows what? Any kind of a potential life. But instead, this is the outcome. It's kind of like the, it's the if a hit and run. The hitting is bad, but it's the running that'll really get you in trouble. And so, just basically, saying yes to law enforcement and cooperating is always going to be your better choice for the long run.
Absolutely.
The Blue Angels Air Show, I know there's every year we talk about traffic and inconvenience and all the stuff, and you guys go one way on the exit, you know, leaving on the Navarre Beach Causeway. Any incidents from that show, anything you guys need to talk about in terms of how to do it better in the future?
No, ours went really well. As posted, we opened the bridge up for one-way traffic coming in there and going off of there to get everybody on safely. As far as Santa Rosa County out on the beach, we didn't have any issues. Everybody was cooperative, and the word got spread quickly about how we were going to be doing the traffic patterns to get everybody in and out safely. So everything went smoothly from there. We didn't have any issues.
Oh, well, I mean, I always take that as an answer. The county commission has been talking about the possibility of creating an ordinance to be able to tow cars that are parked not in parking spaces out on the beach, especially if they're parked in sand or near the dunes where they really shouldn't be, but also parking in the right-of-way. They have said that this has come as a result of your office, your officers, particularly the beach unit, asking for this authority to handle some of these cars. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. They did a lot of beautification, put a lot of money into the roadways down there and certain around the dunes and planted grass and everything. And, we get calls that people are illegally parked down there. I went down there personally and I had some of my supervisors go down there, and my request to the county was, well, we got to have more signage. We're not going to write tickets for people if there's not proper signage up. The county has done an amazing job. They're getting signs put up. They're showing no parking. They were up at one point. Somehow they got taken down. So the county's doing everything they can to get that signage back up.
Okay.
And then the request was, if they do violate and they're parking there and they're non-parking, have them towed. I requested from Brad, if you're going to do that, we can't pull from our regular rotations, which we share with FHP, for traffic accidents, that they need to get their own towing contract so that our deputies can reach out to their contract. And Mr. Baker's working on doing that right now and kind of tightening up that ordinance down there. We want to make sure that if people park there, they know they're not supposed to park there. I don't want anybody giving a ticket that doesn't deserve one and they didn't know that they were wrong, so, or their vehicle towed. So that's what we're working with them very closely to get that ironed out and get it real clear so everybody knows where they can park and where they can't.
Yeah, and I think in the commission meeting on Thursday, mention was made that maybe FHP was not opposed, that wasn't an issue. They'd solve that slice of it, so that's good. Also, I know Juanes Pagodas and another business owner showed up to talk about, you know, hey, work with us. This is a problem for us, too, especially with the boat ramp. And I assume that you guys all will, but, you know, there may be several dimensions of fixing this problem, because ultimately we want is obviously people to be able to visit the beach safely, not to damage anything in an orderly way, and then a way for offenders to be taken care of as well. You guys have an active shooter training that you're going to be doing, what, this Wednesday and Thursday, is that right?
Yes. Yes, we do these every year, and it just prepares our SROs and our deputies and also prepares our school administrators. And the school, we've been going around to all the schools in Santa Rosa County during the summer, talking about active shooters, talking about response things so that school administrators are aware of what goes on. We put them in some pretty difficult situations on tabletops and question them, what would you do here? What would you do there? So it's about training, and it's about making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to provide a safe environment for our kids. So these active shooters, we do them every year as many times as we can, and it just prepares not only our deputies but the administrations at the schools for what's going to happen and how we're going to be reacting and what we need you to do when we're coming to respond.
No, it's great stuff. I'm glad you're doing it. It's going to be at Navarre High School on Wednesday, and Soundside, the new Soundside, is going to be on Thursday. So if you are in those vicinities and you see the sheriffs, no big deal. It's all planned. But, you know, as you guys know, the normal response from an untrained person in a crisis is not a good one. And so the first thing is just getting them to think about these things. think through it, problem solve in their head, and then eventually over time, if they do it enough times, you create a kind of a habit, which, of course, that's what training is for. So any step on that process is an improvement over getting caught cold and not knowing what to do. You guys have, I got a report. I have not checked up on it, but it looks like there's been several arrests in Escambia County that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, has been more active. Has ICE been more, more active in Santa Rosa County as well?
It comes and goes. They've been, Border Patrol does some operations in Santa Rosa County. ICE has done some operations, and we've participated in some operations with both of them. So it just depends on where some of these illegals are found, and they'll reach out. So it comes and goes. There'll be a high point. There'll be several arrests, and then there won't be any for a few days.
And then I think you and I were talking about this briefly before we got on the air, that you guys are responsible for all the transports for ICE. Is that right?
Yeah, we're the transport hub for ICE. So we pick up each week from Escambia County, our arrest for ICE, and Okaloosa's, and we transport them to Walton. Walton is able to carry. They have a different contract, so they can house these illegals longer than what we can, Escambia and Okaloosa. So we're the transport hub. We do a trip sometimes once or twice a week, depending on how many is there. They can't stay in the county jails over 48 hours, so we have to go pick them up, take them to Walton County.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, and that would be for the only offense is being out of documented status, not having any underlying offense. Is that right?
That's correct. If they have local charges, they stay there and finish those local charges before ICE takes any custody of them.
Got it. And I assume the feds pay for the transport that you guys do?
Yes.
Very good.
They pay our transport for picking them up and taking them.
By the way, not to make you feel better about a problem, but you know how you were telling the county commission that you guys are $450,000 off because of the rule that you can't make money off of the phone calls for the inmates?
Yeah.
Wes Moreno told me last week that they're out a million.
Yeah, it was a big hit, and I know it's being challenged, and I'm hoping that something will change on it, but with the environment right now, I'm not sure it will. But, you know, we paid for a lot of our program staff and things out of that inmate welfare fund out of that, and we had to absorb that $450,000 into our budget, and that put it on the taxpayers to do that rather than commissions that we were getting from all the phone calls and everything else. So it was a big hit, and we're just a small jail. We run between 600 and 800 inmates. You think about what some of these jails across the state that have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people in it, what kind of hit they got.
Absolutely. Last thing is, you and I, again, we're talking off the air, and you said that you guys are working on developing a series of meetings to inform the public about internet safety for their kids from the Internet Crimes Against Children, the ICAC division.
Yeah, our crime prevention coordinator, in conjunction with our investigator that works at the Santa Rosa Kids House, we're setting up these little town hall meetings to do and internet crimes against children, just so we can educate parents on what can you do to protect your child from predators online. As we know, the online apps and services that are out there, they target our children every day, and we work diligently to make sure that we're on top of these. We do several operations a year. So we're just there talking about it, getting parents to provide, so we can provide them some resources on internet safety for their children. Our first one is going to be July 30th at 5:30 to 6:30 at the J Community Center. And then we'll be August 13th from 5:30 to 6:30 at Santa Rosa County Library in the bar. So we're just trying to reach out to parents to give them some options and educate them on what their kids are going to get confronted with and how can they protect their kids. Because a lot of times kids get sucked into these websites, even gaming consoles, you know, at your house. You can get sucked into these, and these predators are just looking for children. So we want to make sure we're giving all of our parents as much information as we can to educate them and give them some resources on how they can protect their kids.
Man, I have two thoughts. You may already be planning to do this. One thought is, I think it'd be super valuable if it were designed to be parents and children, like that the children would be able to watch this basically or attend this with their parents. The other one is, I hope you will put the recording, a video recording of that online. You don't necessarily have to stream it, but so that, because parents may not be able to come to a thing, but obviously they can watch it in the safety of their home or watch it with a child, you know, and both can learn at the same time. Just some suggestions, because I'm very glad you're doing that. It's incredibly necessary. It's horrifying that it's necessary, but man, if we can keep even a handful of children from being exposed to things or being at risk of things, I mean, that's a big win. So just a couple of ideas. Maybe you're already planning to do it that way, but that'd be my thought.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as this expands, we're going to try to keep expanding it, making it a little better. We're going to learn as we go along, and, you know, we'll get questions from parents, I'm sure, at these, and that'll give us some stuff to grow on and some other presentation ideas to give parents as we go along. So that's a great
definitely.
Idea, Andrew.
Chief Deputy Randy Tiff, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, as always, Chief, thank you for the time today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for keeping me and my family safe. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.